Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my residence in here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on Shaken Radio, ShakenWeekRadio.com. Thanks for joining the show, and I always mention this, guys, that we are viewer-supported stations, and I know the people over both these stations could would appreciate any kind of support that you're able to muster up. So please consider that in your thoughts today. My original guest this hour, I had Cody Pine coming on, who's a PPC member in Saskatchewan, and unfortunately, Cody had a family issue come up. So, of course, the first person I could think of to get on and fill in for Cody was Jürgen Vollrath. I haven't had a conversation now with Jürgen for a little while, and we're overdue for one. I know that Jürgen and me share a lot of the same thoughts. So welcome to the show today, Jürgen. Always a pleasure having you on. And I always start my show with asking my guests their pet peeve of the week, number one on the list, because I know we've got about 10 of them, but let's start with number one today, Jürgen. Welcome to the show.
Well, listen, Barry, thanks a lot for having me on, and thanks for listening to all of your audience out there. We really appreciate the fact that there are people who care, that take the time out to listen to podcasts such as yours, because the mainstream media are the Decepticons of our modern age. And my pet peeve of the week would be the attack that continues unabated against free speech. It is my number one peeve. It'll probably be the number one peeve every time you ask me what's my number one peeve of the week, because the assault on that, ever since the introduction of political correctness into our society, has destroyed our ability to debate, to function rationally, to bring logic, reason, and common sense into normal conversation. We've diluted the entire debate mechanism through that political correctness that we are basically, that we've been thrown under by consecutive decades and decades of malicious governance. That's all I can say.
Well, you know what? You know, this didn't happen overnight, Jürgen. You know that. And I know most people that have watched these activities go over the last 10, 15, 20 years, we see them slowly but surely ramping up the attack on free speech, where political correctness, like you said, Jürgen, has basically destroyed our ability to have normal functioning conversations with people without the fear of reprisal from government agencies. N-103 is a real prime example of that. It actually is a blasphemy law. And if this doesn't wake people up to what's going on in Canada, I don't know what to say, Jürgen. What we've seen this week with this conservative government, and like them or not, the rebel media, to me, is the only media outlet in Canada right now that's providing any factual information to the people. And this media outlet is under attacks in ways that I've never seen before. They were actually going to keep them out of the election debate on Monday night, and the rebel had to go file an injunction. It's going to be filed tomorrow morning, an emergency injunction to allow them to participate in a national debate between our leaders for the next Prime Minister of Canada. How can any group justify censoring a right-wing media outlet that has 1.4 million subscribers now in Canada? There is a lot of people that are supporting this because they're the only outlet there right now that I see, Jürgen, that's putting out any kind of truth. Anywhere else you go, it's all the continual government propaganda. So what I've seen here in the last couple of weeks is one of the problems, like you know and I know, Jürgen, is that mainstream media doesn't give this coverage that it deserves. So a lot of Canadians are really kind of still in the dark as to what's going on here in the last little while with the election campaigns. And, boy, that really needs to be brought to Canadians' attention.
Yeah, it certainly does, Barry. But, you know, honesty and truth are the victims of all of this political correctness, because we live under an umbrella of falsehoods. You find yourself in environments of people where you're afraid to say things because you're going to hurt someone's feelings, or someone is going to be interrupted in their notion that the world is a perfect place, when we know that it isn't. And we know that everyone is different, and we know that there's only two genders, and yet the confusion that's being created by the entire system of Decepticons that we're living under. And that's what I'm calling it now. I'm into that. I'm into that big time. The Transformers have taught us something. Those movies have taught us something. We are living surrounded by these Decepticons, and they're huge and they're ugly. And they have ugly ways to destroy our lives. They have ugly ways to control us. And we need to get the message to the majority of people. But we can't. You and I on this show cannot. We do not have the powers of the CBC, the CTV, all of them. People need to awaken themselves. You and I can awaken so many, but the rest need to find it for themselves. They need to look inside themselves and find where the truth lies and stop believing the lies they're being thrown. But how can you when you have a system created by Decepticons right from the time they get the child in their nursery school? From the time of kindergarten, grade one, now they're teaching sex education. They're leading them astray like a Pied Piper does. Here's the music you're going to listen to today. Here's Greta. Feel sorry for Greta. She's 16 years old, and for some reason, Greta Thunberg, she comes across on a yacht, and she preaches to adults about climate change. She's 16 years old. The world is going to die. We're all going to die. You've stolen my childhood. She's worth tens of millions of dollars now, right? But she's 16 years old, and we should listen to her. At the same time, Omar Khadr is 16 years old, and he is not responsible because he's only 16 years old. And he killed somebody, and he was a terrorist, but he's not responsible, so let's give him $10.5 million.
Yeah,
it's Decepticons, liars and pretenders. How do you battle that when you're an honest man? Yeah, that's our problem.
Some of the things that have gone on in our courts here in the last couple of years, I'm sure Canadians aren't aware of. Penalties being given to people that have perpetrated absolutely heinous crimes in our society, and they're getting off with nothing more than a slap on the wrist.
Due
to their religious beliefs. So when did their religious beliefs start circumventing laws in Canada? When did that start, Jürgen?
I know. I'm also finding a huge trend in a lot of these killings in that where the person is, while they're just not mentally stable for trial, they hand them over to a few psychologists, psychiatrists, like you say. They put them in a healing lodge for 5 years, and then they're okay. They can come on out, just like the guy who ate a guy on a bus and cut his friggin' head off.
Yeah, and he's been released now, or he's going to be released. I just read that.
Yeah, he's out. As far as I know, he's out. I thought he got out last year sometime.
And how many years did he spend in jail? I think it was 5 or in detainment. It wasn't even jail. It was detainment.
It would have been under the care of these people that sit around, and they sit around and they tell us how to live our lives. And then they say, look, we've cured this guy. Look how successful we are. Right. They pat themselves on the back. It's just absolutely disgusting. Look what's happening in the homeless situation in the United States and the West Coast of our own country. The things that Jamie Kings has put up, the pictures out there in BC. It's absolutely disgusting that we're allowing this to happen. How does this happen? Right.
So we got the LNG homeless camp now in Terrace, and we put up a big sign right on the highway, LNG homeless camp, because what's happening in Terrace, because of this massive project going on. You have thousands and thousands of workers, a lot of them foreign workers coming into the area, and they'll basically pay landlords anything they want for a house because they're coming in and they're making $7,000 or $8,000 or $9,000 in a month. But what it's done in Terrace, people that have been living here all their lives, if they're looking for a place to live, they can't afford to get a house now. I mean, houses that were $1,000 2 years ago a month, people want $2,500 a month for them now because they know they can get it. It's just a travesty what I see going on. I know people here in town that are just struggling. They can pay their bills. They don't even know where they're getting their food from because they pay their bills, they pay their rent, they pay everything else, and they've got a few dollars left over to buy food for their family. I see more people going to the food bank than I've ever seen before in my life in this community. And yet we're one of the richest communities in the country. Why is that, folks? Unbelievable. Canada, what numbers I just read on the homeless population in Canada, and I've seen 3 or 4 different reports, and there's a little bit of conflict in the reports, of course, but the lowest numbers I've seen, you're going to approximately have 275 to 300,000 homeless in Canada now. We are the richest country in the world, and we have this kind of homeless population. It really is a travesty.
It is a travesty for sure, and yet they have these other priorities all the time, constantly about they have this fixation with gender economy, gender society. It's all about sexuality. It's all about perversion to me. excuse me, but it really does distract everyone in such a way that they just can't get their head around so many of these things, right? So everyone on a daily basis is just struggling to try and get a certain kind of message, right? Because we're just bombarded with all of this stuff that comes from so many different angles, Barry. You and I, because people like you and I, we follow what's going on. We are not the regular people of the country that are political experts every 4 years. We know what laws are being passed on a weekly basis. the majority of people haven't got a clue about M103 or C-48 or C-69, 71, 75, all of them. They have no clue. None of them. I came across this country asking people, not a single one knew those laws or bills, any of that stuff I asked back then, a couple of years ago, especially M103, because I had just left Ontario, decided to come out to Alberta where my boys are living, like you know, with their families and our grandkids and that. And we just decided to come out here based on the fact that, number one, I really believe that the heart of Canada resides right here in Alberta. The rest of it has been surrendered to the nation of the United Nations. The province of Ontario was battered under Liberal rule. The United Nations had free roam to do everything they needed to do to achieve their Agenda 21 in the province of Ontario, to the point where when Doug Ford was elected premier, he couldn't stop the wind farm that was going to the community I lived in, okay? We voted over 90% against it, but Doug Ford couldn't stop it. And people there are saying, well, we voted for Doug Ford. How come they're still coming? Hey, he couldn't fight the United Nations himself, right?
People have no idea how deep the tentacles of the United Nations.
They have no idea. They don't have a clue. They
haven't got a clue.
You're so sad. The work I've done with Dr. Marguerite Ritchie at the Human Rights, people, perhaps they don't know my background. Perhaps they should know a little bit about where I come from so that they can understand that I speak from reality. I speak from working for many years, and I'm still a director at large for Canadians for Language Fairness. Along with Howard Galganoff and Kim and Beth and so many Jean-Serge Brisson back east, we have fought for fairness for the English speakers of this country. I've been doing that for I don't know how many decades now. I also have a background. I worked for probably a little over a decade or so with Dr. Marguerite Ritchie. I was on the board of directors of the Human Rights Institute of Canada, where Dr. Ritchie taught me about all the illegalities of what we are living under today. She was one of the first women on the Queen's Council of Canada. She was one of the first women in the Justice Department for our country. She graduated out of the University of Alberta in the 40s. And went to Ottawa, and basically she was the first one to fight for Aboriginal women's rights. And there's no statue to her, you know, because she ended up at the end of her career forming the Human Rights Institute of Canada. And I have to tell you something later, remind me to talk about it, about Ottawa, you trying to steal it. Working with her all those years, her having worked with so many successive prime ministers in the Justice Department, she told me when I first met her, she says, they don't like me now because they know where all the bodies are buried. This is after she got the Order of Canada. Wow. Okay. After she got the Order of Canada, she started to focus on working for the majority of English speakers in Canada because she saw the Decepticons working their work in terms of the Francophone takeover of the federal bureaucracies, because that's where we're at today. If you're an English-speaking Canadian, you are barred from upper echelons of government in your own country, whereas if you're from Quebec, you can achieve all of that. Let's put it this way. When the Official Languages Act was passed back in 69-70, whenever, we had 16-17% bilingual people in this country. Today, after over $1 trillion been spent on that program, we still have 16-17% bilingual people in this country. And yet, the program that was designed, that was said, it will not take jobs from anyone, now restricts all English speakers from upper echelon positions in your own government.
It's a hypocrisy, eh?
It's absolutely insane. And here's the other thing, the flip side of that. You go to the province of Quebec, the English language is outlawed. So somebody wake up to that. Can someone really wake up to that, please?
Well, I didn't actually know that. The English language is outlawed in Quebec.
It is virtually outlawed in the province of Quebec. You have to read Howard Galganoff's book if you can get your hands on it. I've managed to distribute a few copies myself. It's called Canada is Not a Bilingual Country. It's an excellent read on how can it be a bilingual country when the unrestricted use of the English language in the province of Quebec is against the law? You can't just have an English sign. You can't. And listen to this. And there are bilingual laws outside of the province of Quebec that restrict the English language. Get that one figured out when the population of Francophones are less than 5% in the area. So, you know, we're living in this upside down twilight zone. And yet, you know, just someone please Google New Brunswick and also Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever it is you're using, duality. Because duality is now the new term for official bilingualism. The only official bilingual province in the country of Canada is New Brunswick. And guess what? It is the only province where now there's brand new French hospitals, there's brand new French schools, and guess what? They don't have to be bilingual. All the old schools, the English ones, all the old hospitals, the English ones, they have to be bilingual. So someone tell me what the hell is going on here.
You know, I was aware of
some. Pardon my language. What the heck is going on here?
I was aware of some of this, Jürgen, but some of the things that you just told me, I wasn't actually aware of. So it's good that you're bringing this information forward. I find myself looking at so many different things during the day.
Exactly. I know. I know, Barry, listen, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I understand that we are so distracted by all these other things while quietly. And this, the reason why I'm doing this, I guess, because I'm pushing my book before it's published. I'm writing a book. I'm in the midst of it. I've probably got 6 or 7 chapters done already. I'm using all my research from the Institute and with the people I've worked with over these last number of decades. And it's called Canada's Role in the Nation of Quebec. Mm-hmm. And out there, to all the listeners out there, if there's anyone that has a personal anecdote how they have been affected, I have listened to many whistleblowers over my career, anonymously. I tell their stories anonymously. People can believe it or not. People that know me for who I am, they believe these stories that I tell them from the whistleblowers that have approached me over my time in Ottawa, understanding this entire bilingual fraud for what it is. Anyone who has an anecdote, contact Barry, please. And Barry can contact me. With your personal story, I will publish it in my book. I am donating. I'm taking a chapter of the book, and it's going to be for Canadians that have suffered language discrimination, whether it's from either side. This needs to stop. We need unity in this country, Barry. And one of the ways we can do it is just say, listen, we need one language and one flag. Okay, enough of this nation within a nation within a nation. We have enough of that. Enough, right?
Well, it's like, you know, the bottom line, in Jürgen, if you really think about it, it's just another division in our society.
Exactly.
It keeps society divided. Yeah. You know, we talk about divisions in society, but these people, they sit down in think tanks. You know, they sat down in a think tank 40 years ago and came up with a way to divide society. Well, they've implemented hundreds of ways of dividing our society. We don't see them for what they are, because we just accept it as part of the norm. But really, when it comes down to it, the bottom line is dividing society so society can't recognize what the real enemy is. And they're very effective at it. They're actually the masters of deception. They've been doing this for many, many years. And through trial and error, they've come up with the best way to attack the human brain and the human heart. And boy, I'll tell you, I see things now in Canada that I never thought I would see in this country. And for the first time, I think I said this about a year ago, I'm actually terrified right now. I'm not in fear of what's coming for me. I'm terrified for this country. Myself, I'm not standing in fear, because I know in my own life where things are kind of going. But I look at all these people that are in the matrix that still are just thinking that everything's fine, that, you know, nothing could ever possibly go really wrong in Canada. We could never, ever possibly lose our freedoms because this is Canada. Well, the price of freedom is vigilance, folks. It is that, you know, if you're not vigilant, then these entities will creep into all sections of our government. And if you read the Communist Manifesto, I haven't read it cover to cover, but I've read enough of it to understand how the system works, how they get into government, how they change societies. And if you look at Germany in 1937, Jürgen, and you look at Canada right now, the similarities are just absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, Hitler took over the youth, and he got the youth to rally against the status quo in their societies. Stalin did the same thing. He took over the minds of the youth, and he used that against the status quo. And now we see this Greta Thunberg come out, running around the world, and people saying this girl should get a Nobel Peace Prize. Can you believe this? I mean, but you know what? They had this climate action strike here in Terrace a couple of weeks ago, and I printed up a little article on 500 scientists that have written letters to the United Nations completely debunking the whole climate change agenda. Do you ever hear about that on CNN or CBC? Has that ever been discussed? But I took it down to this meeting and I handed it out to these young kids that are there with their minds completely programmed. And if I rose any kind of attention that day, then it was a good day. But I had conversations with the kids down there, and sure, a lot of them just walked away from me. But a few of them seemed to listen to what I was saying. So that was a good day. But really, we've got to get to the youth, man. They've been programmed. Their minds are so controlled. They don't know it, of course, but their minds are so controlled. And deprogramming our youth is going to be a monumental task, Jürgen, the way I see it.
Everywhere I go now, Barry, wherever I speak, one of the first things I speak about is that how imperative it is for the people in the room to get involved in the education system and to run for the school board. We need to take it back. People, I would wager right now, and you may get it on your threads, your people that are answering in on your computer there, how many people know who's on your school board making curriculum for your children over the last 50 years? Who have you known on the school board? Anybody? Probably not. I would wager 95% of your audience doesn't have a clue who's on the school board making curriculum for the children, and they've never known. They've only voted for the first five people on the ballot or whatever number it is because they're in alphabetical order. It's a proven fact.
Yep. When was the last time you attended a school board meeting and actually heard?
Exactly. When was the last time, as a moderate, you attended a union meeting so a radical wouldn't be elected president?
Exactly. And we see that,
Same thing. The moderates never matter, Barry, right? Same with religion, same with everything. The moderates never matter.
Well, I talk with Ron Stevens a lot, and it's one gentleman that really has made some incredible points in with me about how we can take back control of our societies at the municipal level. But it's going to take people wanting to get involved. And I see Canadians as being so apathetic. It boggles my mind. I mean, this stuff is going on all around you. Your kids are being programmed. They're being subjected to perverted thoughts. The gender confusion that it's being put into children's minds is child abuse. We have like transsexuals going to libraries and preaching to 5 and 6 years olds. I mean, this stuff is just right out of control.
And we have laws against that. Here's the problem, Barry. We've lost law and order, haven't we? Because you said it, there's laws against it. How come they're not enforcing those laws?
Why aren't they enforcing child abuse laws?
Because it's part of the agenda, isn't it?
Of course. And of course we know, and anybody that's followed the police forces know that the RCMP in Canada now are the most are corrupted at the top. You got that, what's her name, Lucky? That was handpicked by Justin Trudeau. And if you look at her background and her ties to radical organization, this is the lady that's running our RCMP now. I mean, my God, Jürgen, we're in trouble. But you know what? One of the good things about the RCMP is I've actually had conversations with constables, just regular constables in my town. I got to play hockey with one last year. And I've said this a couple of times. I've had conversations with the guy. And, you know, it came right out of his mouth, Jürgen, right to my face. He says, you know, Barry, that my other members in the detachment and myself are disgusted with what we see going on at the upper echelons of the RCMP. So you got the lower levels aware of the corruption at the upper levels, but they got into it for the right reason, and they see that all being taken away. So there's quite a conflict growing there.
It's like the FBI and DOJ down in the States, the same thing. They've all been corrupted by 8 years of the Obama leftist administration that was going to change America forever. Remember when he said that? He's going to change America.
Yeah.
Right? And these people that are in control of us now are the same people that were doing that for 8 years in the States. And thank goodness, and I believe that God delivered Donald Trump to the entire world to give us a shot. Because if it wasn't for him right now, if we were under Hillary, imagine the alliance Hillary Clinton and Justin Trudeau would have made. We would be already, I mean, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation today. I'm sure of it.
So there's a lot of Trump haters out there, Jürgen, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. And there's people listening to the show right now that absolutely detest Donald Trump. But you made a very, very valid point a minute ago. If Hillary Clinton had won the presidency of the United States of America, I wouldn't want that situation wished on anybody. So like him or leave him, Donald Trump has put the brakes on a lot of things that were going to come to the United States of America. Henceforth, we see this in crazy, crazy attacks on him with absolute falsified information trying to impeach the president. Well, sure, you know, there's a lot of things he's done and said that offended me. There's a few things that he's done that offended me. But I look at the basics of what the man is doing, and whether you like it or not, I can't say that the guy is a demon. I believe that his heart is in the right place, and I know there's going to be people over shaking awake that don't like what I'm saying right now, but we should stand in that truth. And right now, if you made a very valid point. You're going to, Hillary had won the presidency. I wouldn't want to see what the United States would look like.
We'd be at war. We'd be at war. They're warmongers. They're warmongers, Barry. They are. The proof is in the pudding. Look what she did to Libya. Look what her and Obama did to Libya. If Americans can't see that and Canadians can't see that, then I just shake my head. I mean, they destroyed a country. They took a man who was going to put them to the gold standard, who was trying to unite Africa, and they destroyed him. Now there's slave markets there. There's slave markets there. And people still want to vote for these people? It's just, it's mind-boggling. I just can't get over it.
Well, the same people we're dealing with now are the same people that brought down the towers on 9/11. The same people, just a different perspective. And I get into conversation, you know, Jurgen, I was up in Mushroom Patch picking, and I got some friends, Paul and Cindy, and Cindy's dad was in there, and we started talking about 9/11. And he started telling me how the towers fell down, that the heat caused the supports between the main beams to falter, and that collapse effect pushed the building down. And henceforth, we saw what we saw. It really, really astounded me that a man at 76 years old still completely believed the government's narrative on 9/11. But then they also told me in the same conversation that they get all their information from CNN, that they watch CNN from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. And I just went, whoa, hello. I actually got into, they allowed me to sit there for about 10 minutes, and I laid out 10 of the hardest facts about 9/11, unreputable facts about 9/11. And maybe I had an impact on them. But the fact that they sat there and told me how the towers fell, and, you know, I've put about 300 hours of research into the towers in my life. I could tell you anything that happened that day, why it happened, who was behind it, and really it comes down to just following the money.
Yeah, it sure is.
I was trying to keep my cool.
So speaking of Canadian politics, why don't we drift into that area for a few minutes? Because I have a whole pile of people that would like me to talk about Wexit, and perhaps people out there in the radio podcast land need to know what it is, what it's all about, who's involved, and all that sort of stuff. What do you think?
Oh, sir, I was actually just distracted for about 2 seconds there. Can you say that again?
Okay, no, I was just wondering if there's a lot of people on my site and people I've spoken to are wondering if I can speak about Wexit today. Because I'd like to speak a little bit about the Canadian political scene in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and what's going to happen in Canada, perhaps during this next election, during this election cycle, what's going to happen on October 21st, the implications of this election, and all that sort of thing.
I want to talk about that, Jurgen. So go ahead, because Wexit is starting to gain attention all over the world right now.
All over. It is good. Good. I'm glad.
I'm seeing what's going on with it, with Russian media picking up on the stories and carrying it. We all know, Jurgen, without a doubt, that if the Liberal government should get back in by chance and they form a coalition with the NDP, that Alberta will separate from Canada, because I know what the sentiment is in Alberta right now. I talk to Albertans all the time. I'm talking to one right now as I speak, but I know what's going on there. And you know, that would be a terrible thing, because I believe in a country being unified, but there gets to a point where people have had enough, they can't take any more, and radical times require radical actions. Go ahead.
And that's where you say, you know, it's all about time. This is not something that happened because of Justin Trudeau. The people need to get that very, very clear. This has been coming for a very long time, ever since Ottawa gave the middle finger to Alberta way back in the days of Pierre Trudeau, and possibly even before then. There have always been forces in the East that have aligned themselves against the traditional Canadian perspective of what this country should be. So it's a much deeper thing than just Justin Trudeau, right? Wexit is basically now the epitome of all the sorrow that's been felt over all these decades for this region of this country. It's been laughed at for so long. It's been kicked around for so long. It's been downtrodden. It's had its highs and lows. It's had premiers here that walk the walk and talk the talk. You look at some of the past premiers here, you have some beer-drinking guys that knew the roots of the people. And that's what this place is about. And I've come to realize that in my short time here. I love Alberta. I love the people here. And I was told many years ago by my mentor, Dr. Marguerite Ritchie, that Alberta is still the heart and soul of Canada, and it's true. The entrepreneurial spirit still lives here, which has been robbed by the United Nations, by the globalist forces in the provinces of Quebec and Ontario. They're so focused on socialist programs. They're so focused on the whole notion of Kumbaya, the Saul Alinsky movement. They've been sold by it. So Wexit is basically the antithesis to all of that they've been preaching. It is the, let's say it's the straight pride to the gay pride parade. It is the, reunification of family values. It is, let's say it's driving the individual to excel. It's providing opportunity for the individual, opening up our economic possibilities without major restrictions in terms of regulations and laws and all that sort of thing. And the people that live here actually have a say in what they want to do, because right now our vote means nothing. By the time we hear the results from Ontario and Quebec, the fact that Alberta only has 34 seats and Toronto and Montreal combined have 35, their interests totally lie against the interests of the people of this province. And this has been coming for a long, long time. And, you know, the biggest thing I can say, what I feel may come out of this, it's not so much about separation. It's about reunification, really, in the sense that the Canadian spirit will live here. And if you want to be part of it, you can still come here and be part of it. And if there's parts of Manitoba that want to be part of it, you're welcome to be part of it. If you want to be part of it in Northern Ontario, you can be part of it. Because we just want to get away from the centralized notion of the tyranny that we've been under. It has to stop. Alberta is important. The people here are important. They're not looked that way from the powers that rule us. And you just look at the politics of the East compared to the politics of it. There's just no getting it together anymore. We're just so far apart. It's too far apart. We'd love to see a Canada united, but we've been forced into a Canada divided. We're one of the only countries, and this is the way I see it. This is just the way I see it. That has legislated division. We have language laws. Imagine we have language police. Think about that, people. Language police. You can get arrested. You don't have the sign, the right language. Like, it's ridiculous. What part of freedom don't you get? It goes back to freedom of speech we talked about before. There will be freedom of speech in the new republic that we're going to form here. Make no mistake. We're going to base this on a republic where freedoms are important. Basically, where you're allowed to pursue your happiness, right? Much like in the U.S. And people are going to say, well, you're just going to be gobbled up by the U.S. Well, maybe we'll form very strong alliances with our closest neighbor that provides us the protection that we need. I find it very insulting that our country has been insulting to our neighbor. That's my opinion. In Wexit, we won't be insulting to our neighbor.
Well, I'll tell you, you're going to see a lot of people move to Alberta. So get ready for the influx of population, because there's a lot of Canadians that feel exactly like you do, even though they're not in Alberta. I mean, the equalization programs in Canada are just a travesty. Yep. And what have they done here in the last 4 years? They basically landlocked all the resource in Alberta. Albertans are out of work and they're in desperate situations right across the board, all through Alberta. I hear the stories every day. This is the economic engine of the country, and they've shut it down. Well, I'd be a little bit choked, you know?
I'll tell you, you can feel it with the people. We just had another rally. There was eight of us showed up for the rally yesterday. You know, in the hearts of the Yellow Vest thing, there was, we had 100-some people some days. It's kind of died down a little bit. I guess we're waiting for this election to happen. But I'll tell you, the thing is right now, it's either PPC probably gets in, or CPC, and they do something miraculous and take some of the PPC policy platform and turn this country around, or we're going to have a very strong Wexit appeal for sure. The biggest thing that I see coming out of this is that we will definitely form a Wexit separatist party. And the best thing that will come out of that is that we will finally get a say, we will get a voice, because it won't just be the usual premier of the province or some other political figure. This will be a totally new entity that's going to be based on facts, saying that, listen, if we don't get this economic engine of this province going, we'll see you later. Enough is enough. We're done. And as far as all these other leaders go, Barry, right now, I've got a message for every political leader right now. You get elected on October 21st. You make this pledge right now. The shovels go in the ground. The pipelines go, and then you fight it in court, and you keep fighting it in court till it's built and the tanker ban is lifted and you start getting our oil to market. The world needs Canadian oil. Get that through your thick heads. If you don't, we'll see you later.
Absolutely. Maxine of the PTC party has made that one of their strong election promises, is that he'll automatically use the power of the government to get these pipelines built. That there will be pipelines started immediately.
If someone doesn't do it, like, the next day, there'll be hell to pay. I'm sorry. There'll be heck to pay.
I know that Albertans are at the breaking point. And, you know, a lot of our listeners don't know what's going on in Alberta. They just, you know, they hear a little bit about it. But they're basically right now, the government has bankrupted Alberta. I don't know the exact numbers for the people put out of work. I believe it's around 200,000 to 300,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Suicides are up 30%.
Exactly. Just absolutely decimating the province. And it's all, of course, by design. I mean, Mr. Trudeau is doing exactly what Mr. Soros is telling him to do. And I talk about George Soros to some people. They never heard the guy, you know, they've heard his name once. But they really don't understand what the man's all about. Well, until you understand what George Soros is about, you won't understand what's going on in Canada.
and he's Barry, we tend to focus a lot on George Soros, and he certainly is an evil spirit, but there are so many others behind the scenes. He's sort of the front man for all of them, right? Because there's more than just him. There's way more than him. And there's more than him with way more money. You look at the influence the Saudis have on the east coast of this country, the connection Trudeau has with Saudi oil, and that's why there'll never be a pipeline as long as any Liberal or Trudeau or anybody connected to them has power in our country. There'll never be a pipeline. They can talk about it all they want, right? The Laurentian elite own that part of the country, along with the Irvings, Irving Oil. They have like an umbilical cord to Saudi Arabia and their foundations and all the money they have out there.
Yeah, of course. And Alberta's paying how much in equalization every year? I forget what the number is, 11 billion in equalization payments. But where's their incentive to actually go develop their own resources in Quebec? There is none. And then SNC-Lavalin and their connections with the Saudis. And you look at the whole big picture. And boy, if you can't see it, folks, then you're really blind. I mean, what's going on in Quebec and what's going on with SNC-Lavalin? Why our prime minister has not been arrested? We have laws in Canada, but he has absolutely put himself above criminal prosecution. That should really, really alarm people. And yet people don't seem to be paying too much attention to that, Jürgen.
They don't pay much attention to anything, but the problem is that they're not given the proper information in the first place, right? So how can they make a valid decision, really?
Well, that's what we're here for right now.
Yeah, Barry. Try. I hope your audience is growing, and I hope that people can understand how important it is, if this podcast goes up somewhere, that you share it with your friends.
Hey, Barry.
And you get people to share the information. I want to just go back before we venture again, because I know we're going to be running out of time soon. This always goes fast, Barry, with you and me, right?
Barry.
I want to just mention something, going back to the language thing, which is so important. It's so dear to my heart, and I have to mention this before I get off the topic. But back in April of 2001, Dr. Jim Pankew was with the Canadian Alliance, and he was MP for Saskatoon-Humboldt, okay? He stood up in the House of Commons like I said, April 6, 2001, and asked the Liberal government the following questions, okay? And at the time, Chrétien was gone, and Don Boudreau was the representing prime minister. He was the Liberal House leader at the time. So the question from Dr. Pankhew was this: Mr. Speaker, Treasury Board statistics confirm that for every increase in the number of federal public service jobs designated bilingual, there is a corresponding decrease in the participation rate of Anglophones in the public service. I should like to know what steps the government is prepared to take to end the systemic discrimination against English-speaking Canadians with respect to hiring and promotions. End of question. The response: Mr. Speaker, this is probably the most insulting question I have ever heard in the House of Commons.
Wow.
And Dr. Jim Pankhew lost his seat with the Canadian Alliance. He had to switch to an independent. I ended up being on his program. He had a half-hour program back in Saskatoon at the time. This is 2001, folks. Okay, it's been going on for a long time. We need to pay attention to this, right? But I was on his program. He had a half-hour television program out of Saskatoon, and we talked about this. At the time, I was spokesperson for Canadians for Language Fairness, and I just could not believe the response from our House Speaker that it was somehow the most insulting question ever asked in the House of Commons, that Anglophones are being restricted from jobs in the federal government. Isn't that crazy? And yet, no press, no nothing. Nobody pays attention to this kind of stuff, right? We're all just so wrapped up and busy in everything that we do. But these are things that people have said that they mean. Like Leo Cadieu, at the same time in 1973, folks, stood up in the French Assembly and said to all the French Assembly that Canada will be a French-speaking nation from coast to coast to coast. And everyone opposed to this notion is opposed to the best interest of Canada. He said that. He said that. Wow. Okay, people.
Wow. Like putting it in your face. Annex
to Brunswick. They've taken Eastern Ontario. It's quiet, but hey, I'm just a normal guy. What do I know?
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! Some of these things. I heard a little bit about that, but it's like I said, it's something I don't really focus on.
Even the Alliance kicked him out of the party. Can you believe that? That's how these guys were all together. They're all together. I'm sorry to say this, but they're all together. It doesn't matter. Liberal, Tory, same old story, teeter-totter politics. They win this time, you win the next time. It's okay. We'll keep going in the same direction anyways. We'll tell them this, we'll do that, right?
We've been going back and forth. You hate the Liberals, you vote the Conservatives. You hate the Conservatives, you vote the Liberals. I don't remember if we're ever having an NDP government. Have we ever? No, we haven't. It's always been the Liberals or the Conservatives for the last 100 years. It's the same snake with the head, Jürgen. And you know what? If you listen to Andrew Scheer talking, you really listen to his platforms, all you're getting with Andrew Scheer is a conservative globalist opposed to a liberal globalist. There's no difference between the two. That they're going to continue the same agenda. Some of the things he said in the last couple of weeks really showed his true colors and what his intentions are. Like I said, right now in this country, we only have a legitimate choice right now to possibly stem the growth of what we see, and that's the PPC party. I've looked at the people that are involved in that party. I've looked at their merits, their education, their moral standings in life, Jürgen, and I see nothing but good people, really good people getting involved in this party that have been able to set aside differences and focus on one objective. The party has people from every race, creed, and religion involved in the party. We have Muslims, we have atheists, we have Christians, we have Jews, we have every sector of Canadian society involved in the party. And they call us a racist party. And we're being attacked in ways nobody's being attacked except for the PPC party and outlets like the Rebel Media in Canada. Well, what does that say to you, folks? What does that say?
Yeah, there's no question about it. The right has been under attack for a long, long time, especially the true right. They call it, and then now they have this new term, the alt-right, that's been around for a little while that I still don't really totally understand. Where's the line between right and alt-right? I'm just really not sure where that line is, if there really is such a thing. So it becomes very confusing when you're constantly under attack, trying to figure out where that line is, right? What am I allowed to say? What is the right topic that I could bring up on this particular occasion, right, with these particular people? Our messages have been controlled in a big way. The way we have to say things have been controlled. I found it just deteriorating over the course of my lifetime, the things I've been able to say, the way the language has changed, the way they've purposely done that to confuse us. They've done that. Look what they've done to Canadians over our lifetime, Barry. They took us into school and they taught us the imperial system of measurement. And then halfway through, they say, well, we're going to switch over to metric once you're a little older. Once they drill the imperial into your head, they say, okay, we're switching you over.
But I'm still using imperial, okay? So call me.
I know. I'm going, okay, what's 3.5 inches in centimeters? I keep to...
inches. You take that metric stuff. Hopefully don't stop using inches and foots because I'll be lost.
Oh, gosh. It's just another way that they control us on such a regular basis. I guess that's another peeve, you know, the notion that we're living under such major control. And here's the other thing that most people in Canada don't understand. We elect these people from all these ridings, but it doesn't matter. The power is all in the Prime Minister's office now. It doesn't matter who you elect in there. It doesn't matter. It does. All the power's in his office. The elected senators can do say whatever they want. They can pass bills, whatever they want. But at the end of the day, we've surrendered our elected representatives to the PMO.
I kind of looked at how they've changed the PMO office here in the last 50 years and the amount of power now that PMO's office has as opposed to about 50 or 60 years ago. And I don't have the articles in front of me, but I looked at it. It really makes sense how now the Prime Minister basically can run as a dictator. Yeah. We have no legal recourse in Canada. Nobody in Canada voted Justin Trudeau in to put us $70 billion in debt. Nobody voted for him to open our borders. Nobody voted for any of the things that this man has done. Nothing. I challenge people, Jürgen, to show me one, just one actual really good beneficial thing that Justin Trudeau has done for Canada. And people are stumped for an answer. I challenge people to do that. Please tell me, because I can't find a single thing good that he's done in the almost 4 years that he's been Prime Minister. I've seen my country go right down the tubes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's nothing. I mean, talk about a shallow human being. I've never seen anyone as shallow as that. And in terms of running a country, I can't think, perhaps right now you're looking at someone like Macron, who's totally controlled. Obama, at least he had some class in terms of being able to be a good orator, so he could sway a lot of people that way. Whereas this guy that we have now is just clearly comes from the double digit side of the IQ scale, I think. So how does that happen if not by selection as opposed to election, right?
Yeah, you almost got to laugh at it because it's a joke that this guy actually became Prime Minister of Canada, a drama teacher in school, got kicked out of schools and blah, blah, blah. He's been a spoon baby all his life, never had to work a day in his life, doesn't understand anything about politics, doesn't understand what it's like to be a Canadian struggling to get by. None of that matters to him. And then what we see him in blackface. And what a hypocrite, man. He's sitting there for years telling us how we should act when he turns around and does this exactly
three
what
times.
He
did. Three times, too. I mean, not just once. Three times. And it's not just blackface. He did his whole body. Like, who does that?
There's more coming out now, Jürgen. You watch all the photos that are coming out. Well, the guy's the biggest hypocrite. But psychopaths are hypocrites. We know that.
And it'll get a lot worse than blackface, believe me, before it's all over. It'll get a lot worse than blackface. And here's the good news. I think the Patriots are winning. I think that we're seeing the verge of the onslaught of offense coming. I think the Patriots have been on defense for far too long. The left has been attacking. I think ever since the Democrats down south declared impeachment to Donald Trump, he declared offense. And you wait and see. I'm declaring Red October. You're going to see a lot of cool things happen this month. A lot of people are going to go down, my friend. I am fully positive of that. We're already seeing an increase in the number of pedophiles being arrested globally. Right, Barry? You know it. Following that. And it's because of this man down in the United States. And the fact that he knows that Justin Trudeau has close ties to Obama. So much is going to be coming out in the next little while. I'm just so excited. I think we're going to get a lot of great Christmas presents. All you patriots out there, put on your happy hat, get the popcorn out, and enjoy the show.
Yeah, I got a few mixed feelings about that because, you know, if it does, all these deep states start being arrested, you're going to see a vacuum created in the United States of America in the political system that could create chaos. Whether this is all a controlled thought or a controlled enemy that wants to get us in this direction and take us in that direction is something I entertain those thoughts because you never can take anything on the surface for what it is. Right. You really kind of sit back and look at it and roll it around in your brain and then look at what the possible reasons for them wanting to do this. So I'm sitting back watching it all go down right now. The fact that Hillary Clinton is still walking free right now should speak volumes about what exactly is going on in the United States of America. In the same mouthful, I see some really, really heavy stuff going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. The lid is off the jar, and they can't keep the genie in anymore. It's going to come out. What just happened with Biden and the Ukraine and his son, that all is going to come out. And I think you're going to see a lot of Americans scratching their heads here in the next couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, we haven't heard the end of Jeffrey Epstein either. That's just starting to get rolling. We haven't seen Justin Trudeau's ties to Picton. We haven't seen any of that. There are things coming that people are not going to be ready for. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and what's that effect going to be on society, Jurgen? That's something, you know, we could talk about for an hour. And my brain goes a lot in that direction, exactly what the problem is going to be and what the reaction to society is going to be and how they're going to come up with a solution to the problem.
You know, I keep going back to one of the first crises that in my day when I was living in Ottawa and Pierre Trudeau declared martial law after Pierre Laporte was murdered. With the FLQ crisis. As a kid, I was quite scared seeing tanks on the street and seeing soldiers with the rifles and all that. It was a very, very, very scary time in our country. And now, ever since I've done a whole pile of research on that over the course of my lifetime, I get some really strange feelings about that whole event and how up until that point, people were only blowing up mailboxes, you know, and they were trying to get away from not harming anybody, really. They were just trying to make their point. And I try to understand that from the French people's point of view who want to separate, correct? But all of a sudden, they felt a need to murder Pierre Laporte for some reason, and because of his ties with the unions and all that sort of stuff and his sort of anti-Trudeau rhetoric and the things he was discovering about Pierre Trudeau, I have some very serious questions about his murder, and I wish some people would look into that.
You mean Pierre's globalist communist ties? Absolutely mind-blowing if you really look into his connections before he became Prime Minister of Canada, that Pierre.
Yeah, yeah. Why? And here's another thing. Here's something that's very puzzling to me as well. How come they've never searched for the body of Michel?
Exactly. Good question.
My son, like Margaret, if it was my son or if it was my brother, I wouldn't stop until I found the body. I don't care. Especially if you have that much money and power. Are you kidding? You could dredge the friggin' lake.
You could. Hey, we're down to the last couple of minutes here, Jurgen. The hour's gone really quick. It always does when I get into conversations with you. There's amazing things we didn't get a chance to talk with you about today, but we'll do this again in the very, very near future.
Absolutely.
Shut out the hour here. You're going to share with people where they can find you and follow you. And I'm going to have to shut out the first hour here and take a pee break for the second hour. A bathroom break. Excuse my language. Got to be politically correct.
Thanks for having me on, Barry. And people can catch me on Facebook at Against the Grain News. You're not supposed to know. Hit me up on my news page. You'll find some stuff on there you don't find anywhere else for the most part, usually. And we try to get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong, but we do our best. So anyways, great. Thanks again for having me on. I really appreciate it, my friend.
Well, Jurgen, I've known you now for, I think, 4 years of my life, and I really enjoy having you on because of your levels of intelligence and your background and some of the things that you tell me I've never heard before. So always a pleasure having you on, and we look forward to this conversation real soon again.
Thanks a lot, Barry. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers to all your guests.
Okay, Jurgen, thanks again, Ben. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break here for about 3-4 minutes. I'm going to be back with Todd Ian McDougall and Mr. Roger Landry. I'll kick the duracells out of Roger before he gets going today.
Boy, when he gets going, it's hard to stop. It should be an interesting hour coming up. Stay tuned. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Welcome back to second hour, guys. And I'm going to do something a little different this hour. I have two gentlemen in the room that I call them both Duracell bunnies, because once they get going, it's really hard to get them stopped. And I hope we can stop them from talking over each other this hour. And I'm going to kind of moderate this conversation because I wanted to introduce Todd to Roger. And Todd was talking to me about some things on autism this week and some of this on his show. And Roger, I consider to be one of the experts in the world on the subject of autism and cancers. So I wanted to put these two gentlemen together, and I'm going to sit back and let them talk. And once in a while, I add a comment because it is my show. But welcome to the show, gentlemen, and thanks for taking time out of your busy days to join me.
I'm going to start out by poking you right in the eye, Barry, because you're one of my best friends on the planet. It's not the Duracell bunny, it's the Energizer bunny.
You're updated now, Roger. I just set my mind, buddy. I'll tie a string around my finger the next time I interview you. But Roger, over the years, I've listened to lots of guys talk on the radio, and I listened to Todd quite a few times. Been in his show and had conversations with the guy. He's right on the ball about a lot of things, and I share a lot of opinions with him. And like I said, I've been wanting to introduce you to Todd, but I wanted Todd to bring up the subject of eyeballs and your optic nerves and autism. And I wanted him to bounce that off you, Roger. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. Yes, it's a pleasure to finally join you on your broadcast. As you were just saying, you've been very nice to have joined me on my broadcast a few times, and I'm sure there's going to be many more times where that came from. A quick introduction for the audience. I am Todd McDougall of Winnipeg Alternative Media, which is a citizen journalist-type alternative media, internet-based a media platform that I've been running for the last 6.5 or so years, you know, focused on many, 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 many subjects, you know, political, societal, medical, you know, so on and so forth. Yeah, so certainly the subject of, you know, me being a parent and a father myself, and also working in a field that's close with families and children as well, the subject of vaccines and, you know, what goes on with the whole raising number of autism and all the different other neurological and physiological issues that we see just, you know, getting ramped up like wildfire, completely out of control, is certainly something that I've looked at heavily over the last long while. And I was quite astounded that when this this person that I know, this other parent that I know, came up to me a couple weeks ago and shared this story with me about his daughter going to something called vision therapy because she was having trouble focusing in school. And so, of course, as we all know, especially those of us that have researched this kind of stuff or are parents, what did the school want to do? Well, they quickly wanted her, you know, to get checked out by a doctor. You know, they are requesting possible Ritalin and, you know, the methylphenidate drugs. The doctor, the family pediatrician, probably going to go down the same road. But these parents, responsible and wise enough, decided, well, hold on, slow that down. We're very, like, anti-drug for our little 8-year-old here. So what other options do we have? And I'm not exactly sure how they got turned on to it, but they got turned on this vision therapy thing because of it being directed towards kids, you know, that are being said they have ADD or ADHD. Because apparently if you can work on correcting the eyes and work on correcting the way the eyes focus, you can basically, you can create you can completely change the child. They can be more attentive.
Focus attention. You can actually focus their attention by focusing their eyes and teaching them how to focus their eyes. Totally agreeable.
That's right.
Totally
agreeable.
Yes.
And I mean, this child also plays hockey as well too. And her right away, her dad was kind of saying like, even her game in hockey has improved. Of course, you could kind of tell in seasons prior, you know, that she'd have a tough time tracking the puck. Well, why is that? You know, she's a pretty high energy kid. She wants to be active and go out there and do stuff. How could she have trouble just tracking the play? Well, of course, now we can understand why she did. And you can already see the change in her, apparently. And so then I started thinking and connecting the dots, right? Because it's what I like to do. And I started thinking, well, I've heard all the different things about where some of, like, you know, the heavy metals in vaccines. Then in another conversation with somebody else, they kind of brought it in also as what aspartame that is in all of the soft drinks and the candies that all these kids are eating can do. And I know that it has a history of some research being, you know, at attacking the ocular nerves and attacking the way the eyes are functioning and the way that the eyes are providing information to the brain. And then I started thinking, well, wouldn't this be incredible? Wouldn't what we're seeing in vision therapy becoming a reality for children that are going through these struggles being because, okay, so what's providing the struggle, right? Oh, well, maybe some of these heavy metals and other toxins that have attacked the eyes and attacked the ocular nerves, the information's not computing properly back to the brain. Oh, that snowballs into a bunch of different other issues as well, too. And it all just kind of started to make sense to me. So I started talking about this on my show. And that's where Barry stepped in and was like, this is amazing information. You got to talk to a friend of mine. And so here we are. But yeah, that's the information I came in contact with. And I thought it was a bombshell for me.
Take a breath.
Okay, I'm going to say one thing, Todd. I've been a fan of Rogers for many, many years now, and I consider him to be one of the authorities in the world right now on the conversation of vaccines. You're going to have to let him talk for a few minutes here because he's about ready to jump out of his seat right now. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, wait. Anybody out there who doesn't believe anything Barry said, if anything, Barry was understating it. First off, I just listened to some phenomenal information, and I like the way it was presented, and the fact that you presented it that way shows me that, yes, you are a media individual. I am the founder of the Liberty Beacon Project, which is a global organization with websites scattered across the planet like a shotgun blast at 200 paces. We are all conservative-based. We all believe in freedom. We all believe in rights, whether that's medical rights or political rights or, you know what, inalienable rights. So it is a very large organization. I started this 10 years ago, and we have no money in this project. It is a 100% funded by our pockets project so that nobody can steer our news, so that we can tell the truth without having to fear somebody's going to take our funding away. So we are a truly independent global media network. When I listen to you talk, when I listen to you say the things you do, it makes me feel good because there are other people out there that are interested enough, whether you're a father, as you said, a parent, or whether you've done massive research on this. Opening your mouth and saying something is very, very important. I'm going to throw a few statistics out there. Some of these you may know, some of them you may not. I was born in 1954. When I was born, the occurrence of, from the 1930s to about the mid-1950s, it was estimated exceeded 1 in 30,000 children born the symptoms we describe as autism today. Well over 1 in 30,000 children all the way up to the 1950s, about the time I was born. Now, let's consider, okay, that today, in the United States, the most vaccinated in Canada, you're not too far behind, the most vaccinated society on the planet, the occurrences of autism are 1 in 36, regardless of what the government tells you. So we have gone, and that's the average between females and males, because males are more susceptible, almost twice as much more susceptible. So now we have well in excess of an 8,000 to 9,000 percentage point increase in the symptoms we call autism in three generations. We're talking about, and there are scientists screaming this and researchers right now, that within 5 to 6 years, if nothing is done, one out of every two children born will be born with autism. You are looking at the destruction of a society. When half of a society born is handicapped for life, the society is ending, and we are approaching this point. The next thing I want to tell everybody is if you stop to consider, and I just put a meme out today on this, to a vaccine group who actually wanted me to make this, and I'm going to read it word for word. As Americans, we live in what is touted by many as the richest and most prosperous nation on this planet. We outspend even our closest rivals on healthcare issues by magnitudes. Yet today we are facing a new epidemic, chronic disease. In the U.S., and yes, my fellow Canadians, in the USA, one in two adults has a chronic disease, and One in four adults has two or more chronic diseases. America today is the most chronically ill society to ever have existed on this planet. How does any of this make sense to you? Why are our massively funded health agencies failing us so blatantly? It's time to ask questions. It's time to demand answers. Do you think I hit the point?
Hard to ask. Oh, need answers. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's well laid out. When you have so much open opportunity, so many available options to be able to really, truly provide a greater, healthier experience to, you know, to all those living in your country, in your society, it's quite astounding to see the amount of, let's just stick with just, of course, the children of today's day and age, all of the different issues, neurological, physiological, with children and how blatant it is. It's ridiculous. And of course, one of the things that bugs me the most is how instead, you know, the same as kind of with cancer and cancer research, we all know that's most of a dupe as well, too. That's your main problem right there, right? Oh yeah, there's a lot of wealth, there's a lot of opportunities. Where's all the money really going though?
Not to finding cures. You made a really sterling point, and I promise I'll let you pick back up where you left off. But we've got to talk about that, okay? Let's talk about cancer. Let's talk about the money in cancer, okay? Because I've got a little tirade I want to give you again. This one's going to last about 2 minutes, probably no more. All right? I watched an individual, a very good friend, die from cancer. I watched her die, okay? And because cannabis, which probably would have saved her life, was illegal, and she wasn't going to break the law. Now, if I have cancer, I can go to at least four different countries on this planet today and be treated and have a 90 to 94% chance of total remission or total recovery. If you stay in the United States, immediately, once you've been diagnosed with cancer, you are worth between $350,000 and $500,000 to Big Pharma. It's called what? What is this poison they put in everybody's body when they have cancer? Chemotherapy. Believe it or not, if you live for more than a year, you're worth a minimum of $250,000 as soon as that doctor says. Now, I just told you that if you leave the country, there are at least five countries out there where you have better than a 90% chance of total remission or cure. Now, in the United States, immediately you are going to be told you need chemotherapy because what these people are doing in the other countries, it's illegal in this country. You try to do it, you either end up in jail or dead if you're successful. Now, here we are, okay? What's happening in this country? Chemotherapy. What's the success rate of chemotherapy? Anybody out there thinking, did I ever lie? You couldn't be more wrong, and I will never challenge you to prove me wrong. I dare you to prove me wrong. The failure rate for chemotherapy exceeds 90%, and in most cases, there are people out there with enough nads to tell you it exceeds 95%. The failure rate of what is recommended for everybody in this country who is diagnosed with cancer is over 90%. What more insane thing have you ever heard of in your life, my friend? What more insane thing have you ever heard of?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess one that comes as just a bit of a second place is the other one that we're talking about, right? Which is the fact that it's blatantly obvious that the amount of diseases and problems happening with children goes right in line with the fact that now, never mind that you have over 35 vaccines to give your child before the age of 5 or 6 or 7, but also that now we should be injecting pregnant mothers as well too. But this is where I get and this is where I get back to the point I was just about to make before I mentioned cancer, which is in the very same way that we see society, you know, deal with cancer. How are we told to deal with it? Okay, of course, yeah, we give charitably, right, to no end, never. But we have autism parades and cancer parades, and we wave a special colored flag, and we walk down the streets in large groups, and we think that we're solving a problem.
Mary,
and that really pisses me off because it's not, I'm not going to go around and blame and judge every single parent out there that's, you know, that's going through this problem of wondering, oh my God, what the hell happened to my child? And the guilt that a lot of these people feel, they would never want to admit it. They never want to talk about it, but the guilt that they know is in there from this awkward thing that happened. And they know it must've had something to do with, a lot of parents know this isn't just some weird twist of genetics or fate. No, they know there's something greater than that. I think people can intrinsically kind of feel it.
No. Hold on. I will let you continue. But again, you made that sterling point. Let me reiterate. Let me empower what you just said, okay? The most vibrant, the most ardent, the strongest vaccine, anti-vaccine activists on the planet are those who have either had vaccine damage to themselves or have witnessed a loved one go through it. So you're hitting the point right on the nose. Every single ardent, really ardent vaccine activist out there, and I've been studying, I've written over 140 vaccine articles, and I have a vaccine-damaged daughter in the 1970s. Please continue. Your point was sterling.
Thank you very much. And of course, so just to also kind of dovetail off of the point of, oh, this society that is, so able to create, what you would imagine to be the most beneficial of options in things like healthcare, so on and so forth. What do these hurt people get offered? What do these lost parents get offered? Yeah, empty your wallets, and here's the annual parade for this issue. And maybe here's a few people you can sit down and talk to. Here's a support group, and move along. And that's a pretty pathetic offer. Other than, I guess, what if you can actually prove that it's vaccine damage, you get like a small handout from the little government slush fund set up by the vaccine manufacturers. That's a drop in the bucket, especially if you're changing an adult's diapers throughout the rest of your adult life as well too. So that's a slap in the face. But one thing that just drives me crazy is of having to see the way parents are told to deal with this kind of disaster. And then of course get made fun of if they start researching themselves as well too. Oh, please don't tell me that you're reading stuff on the internet. Oh no, you should just be at the annual parade, all right? You should really just come to the annual parade. You'll feel a lot better.
You're hitting the nail right on the head over and over and over again. But what we need to drive home just a little bit further, and I'm sure you can jump onto this as well, is the mechanism, the tool. What is causing this, okay? How many of you out there know that, the United States, number one in Alzheimer's. Hey, the United States, number one in dementia. And yes, yeah. You Canadians aren't too far behind. So let's talk about that for a second, okay? What
yes,
happened when they took an elderly person who died from advanced stages of Alzheimer's? They took his brain and they sliced it open and they analyzed it. And what they found was an inordinately large amount of aluminum in his brain. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Now let's sow that seed. Okay, let's you and I sow that suit. Where did that aluminum come from? It's in your underarm deodorant. It's in your eye makeup. It's in, hold on, people. Let me tell you something. It's in the formula, the WIC formula you give to the poor babies in these countries. It is, you know what it's called? An anti-clumping agent. Okay, so you're putting aluminum, which is neurotoxic to the brain, in formula. You're giving infants who don't have a blood-to-brain barrier yet. All right, we're seeing it rain down from the sky from geoengineering. They told us they are spraying nano-sized particles of aluminum into the upper atmosphere to reflect sunlight and cool the surface of the planet. That would make sense if these idiots didn't know, and you know they must, that anything in a gravity well will eventually settle to Earth. So we are breathing aluminum nanoparticles. We're getting them in the water we drink. It's being injected directly into our bodies via vaccines. It's in the food we eat. Now I'm going to get really, really scary, and Barry knows where I'm going. We have a society on this entire planet, not just the United States and Canada, this entire planet where our brain tissue is saturated with aluminum. This is global. It is, yes, heavier in places like Canada, the United States, Europe, where you have higher technology. But it is global. Now I'm going to talk to you about 5G. Have you ever taken any type of aluminum fork, spoon, knife, any metal utensil, and put it in the microwave and turned it on? Let me explain to you, it's already, 5G has already been shut down in two Scandinavian cities because of what I'm about to explain. Everybody's brain is pretty much saturated with this aluminum nowadays. You get 5G has to be set up with a bunch of small antennas because it takes more power to drive the signal the same distance because it's a much higher frequency. Okay, so you've got antennas everywhere. What can you do with antennas all over the place? You can build what's called a phased array, whereby giving each one of those antennas the right amount of information or signal, you can steer a signal anywhere in that city. Now, you've got a bunch of people walking around, and their brains are saturated with aluminum, and anybody who thinks I'm joking about that, you need to do some research. And now you've got 5G, where they can steer a beam of microwave energy to any individual within about a 6-square-foot area and fly them.
Yeah, and I've certainly heard a lot of that as well, too. The only thing I've heard to refute some of the 5G information that I have researched myself is a few people talking about how the energy that we get from the sun is still in a finer wave than 5G. So, you know, it's what's really there to be worried about. But, of course, we're talking about something that's more something that's controlled by humans, something that we can something that can be specifically directed into a certain area. So I think the conversation about energy from the sun probably falls a little short of the mark. That's about the only refute I've heard.
Also, what you need to know is that I worked for the military-industrial complex in the United States for 20 years.
Okay.
That's what I did for a living.
Well, there we go. So I'm sure you have plenty of things to be able to back up
what the idea of 5G
is supposed to be. Using people as little antennas, right, and being able to kind of almost have a system that can wire into even the individual, and who knows what kind of potential is there. But of course, it sounds like only things that I'm sure would be used for horrific reasons, I'm sure.
I'm not telling anybody this is going to happen. What I am saying is that all possibilities to do exactly this will be functional. They will be. Okay, now, we need to rely, and everybody listen, okay? We're talking about vaccines. We're talking about GMOs. We're talking about geoengineering. We're talking about fluoride in our water. We're talking about 5G in our classroom, which are sterilizing 57% of all of our females before they get out of school. Okay, all of this together. We've got all of this together, and it's all being used in a very unprofessional, all the way up to an evil fashion. Now, we give these people control of 5G, and what I just explained can happen. It's not a guess. It absolutely is doable. Now, these people aren't going to take advantage of it. They're not going to use it for evil things. So maybe they've screwed up a lot of times in the past, even recently, but they're going to be good now. They're going to change their way.
Yes.
Do you and
yes.
I believe that at all? I don't.
Yeah, no. No, not one bit. In the case of geoengineering, well, of course, yeah. In the case of geoengineering, it's perfectly allowable, apparently, for them to stand in front of a crowd of people and admit that the tests on human health impacts are pretty slim to nil. Never really looked into that. We would imagine, though, that we would kill probably somewhere upwards of a few hundred thousand people. There is certainly that as an option. But we are here to talk about the benefits that we could possibly see after that.
Isn't that the same for vaccines? Isn't that what they tell people about vaccines? It's like, look, okay, this disease could go through and rampage and kill millions of people. So if we've got to give up about 300,000 or 400,000 to save 2 or 3 million, isn't it worth it? And you know what? Everybody's going to say yes until that parent gets in front of a doctor, and the doctor's about to give him the needle, and the doctor says, you know what the odds are, right? Somebody is going to get sick or die. At that point, you become a parent again, and you say, boy, did I screw up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I collected my paycheck, and I just made damn sure my kids didn't get it.
And henceforth, we see the Vaccine Injury Compensation Board in the United States see a 400% increase in claims in the last year.
Wait, that's not what you think it is. It is not.
It's probably a two-way street. The vaccines are getting dirtier and people are getting more aware.
Well, and the last thing you said is by far the biggest. It's not that there are that many more vaccines going out because they're having trouble just maintaining the number they did last year, if they can, because too far too many people are waking up. And that is the point. Okay, they have nothing. They have nothing, absolutely nothing they can use to defeat the scientific proof that vaccines are causing massive damage. They have nothing except the fact that we're the government, I'm your doctor, you know, big pharma is paying me under the table to convince you to do exactly what you need to do. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to scare the holy crap out of you and is probably going to make everybody listening to this go, that's not true. But it actually is. There is a doctor and a researcher for a pharma company, and I don't remember the name of the company right off the top of my head, who went on a show and stated specifically, she's a vaccine developer, remember this, that there is, in fact, no need for infant children to receive any vaccines from day one until their first year, because the immune system, the state the immune system is in does not allow the vaccines to work. And when this researcher, this PhD, this doctor was asked, well, then why take the chance with these infants, with these some of these vaccines could be dangerous? And this was her reply. It is a training program for the parents. If you can train them within the first year to do what they need to do for the child, the chances that they will continue to do so through that child's pediatric life are much higher. So now that's right. What everybody listening just heard me say was, all of the massive amount of damage to our children and our society are done when these vaccines are given, when these children are so young they don't have any way to protect themselves from it. They have no blood to brain barrier, nothing. So what we just heard was the massive rise in autism, the massive rise in diabetes, the massive rise, and I could name 50 more, but I won't, the massive rise in all of these, because they all are accrued within the first 6 months when all these massive amount of vaccines are given. This is a freaking training program. They don't need these vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
yeah.
training program for the adults to do it continually to themselves as well, too, because one thing that has always shocked the hell out of me, and it always proves the point of course, how a lot of these tyrants in whatever area of society, whether it be government, health, military, whatever. what they often depend on, I should throw media into that, is actually one of the top on the list on that, because mainstream media really depends on this the most, which is people not being able to remember things that even happened just a short while ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago. When I was just coming into a certain job of mine that had to do with working with the public, it was right at the time where the H1N1 scare was going around.
Yep.
And I had to go to this big meeting with a whole bunch of other people that worked with the public to learn about how this was a global pandemic and that there was nothing to be worried about just yet. But and funny enough, this was also the same time I was coming into a lot of my own independent research and vaccines and big pharma as well, too. So I was kind of sitting there like a kid in the candy shop going like, oh, wow, I get to experience the spreading of a really big lie. And I'm just starting to learn about this stuff. I get to learn firsthand how the different tiers of society get pushed a script and just kind of all go about duping each other because nobody really has any idea what's actually going on. So it was really interesting. I learned a lot there. And it continues to surprise and amaze me that that was a point in time within the last decade where at the end of the whole spiel, and it went on in the media and throughout most of the world for a good few months, interrupted people's lives, had a whole bunch of different scares to it, even while people were watching it go on, should I get the shot? It's being admitted it's kind of untested. We know it's kind of unsafe because the manufacturers are trying to rush a thing out. How much money is our government spending on it? All these things were in the news. They were all a big, big part of the concerns of everybody, it seemed, for a good handful of months. At the end of it, it was admitted on the front page of newspapers, big, huge, like, announcements. Hoax! There was no H1N1. It was a bad idea to push millions and millions and millions of untested vaccines. We were wrong. There was some bad information. The word hoax was absolutely being used, but of course a lot of it got played off of just sort of like, oh shit, this was this big mistake. Yes, but it was right there for everyone to see. Front page newspapers across the world, man. This was wrong. We screwed it up. This is basically like a hoax. I even know people, of course they were adults, some of them were working with my mother at the time, that now have different kinds of damages from that vaccine. The narcolepsy, the headaches, the probably maybe things with their eyes as well too. It was mostly not major neurological neurological issues, although I think the Guillain-Barré syndrome was seen quite a bit throughout that vaccine run as well.
It wasn't
as major as some of that stuff, but what really got seen from that vaccine was small stuff, trouble sleeping, headaches, migraines, little things like
heart
that. Yes. Maybe a bit of an awkward change in diet. Some of the same food's not sitting right with you anymore. I mean, problems like that, you know, smaller kinds of things, but life-altering things. This is like something that everybody literally in about 2 years afterwards just forgot about and brushed it off the table. Okay. And it's like, there on the face value.
I'm going to take that to the next level because, again, you just keep – yeah, we got to do a show. You either got to come on my show or I got to go on yours because this ain't going to be over, okay? if you stop to consider, okay – I would say 100 million would be a good number, but it's probably a lowball number. Baby boomers have either come down with or died from cancer. Okay, yeah. We are the biggest, and I am a baby boomer. I was born in 54.
SV40.
Okay, so if you stop to consider, all right, the SV40 virus. But let me tell you where I came in on this. All right, the SV40 virus was not only something that affected the United States, it also massively affected, believe it or not, Russia. Because at the time, Big Pharma was doing field tests for the polio vaccine in Russia. As a matter of fact, I have one of the scientists on a show, okay? He's on the show. I actually have the video where he's laughing and saying, we're definitely going to beat the Russians in the Olympics this year. And when the guy asking the questions, the interviewer says, why? He says, because... yeah, they're doing field trials over there with the polio vaccine with the SV40 virus. So they're all going to have cancer. This is the research. Yep, but hold on. I'm almost done here, okay? So I wrote an article talking about this. And I went to the CDC's website, and they actually had some information saying as many as 30 million baby boomers could be at risk. So I wrote a paper explaining how 30 million, bullcrap. It's well over 100 million, and explaining why and asking questions like, where did the rest of this vaccine go? Was it sold overseas like other vaccines that they can't use in this country? And why, if SV40 virus was discovered in 1960, was it not removed until 1963? So for 3 years, 100 million American baby boomers got a cancer-causing vaccine. Today, okay, I've already told you, one out of three baby boomers is either dying of or has died from cancer. Now, if you stop to consider this, as soon as I published my article, within 24 hours, the CDC took down all of their information on their website pertaining to this vaccine and the SV40 virus.
Wow.
And I had screenshots. I took screenshots. Yes.
Good. Yes. Good call. Good job. That's awesome. Yeah, there's so many little points, right, where people know this kind of stuff, and it's just so funny, you know, how you sometimes have to be really bewildered about the tipping point for, I guess, society at large, but even, of course, when just talking about the individual. I mean, you know, enough adults walk around completely understanding that the chickenpox vaccine is something that can actually give you shingles when you're older. It can sit dormant. The virus can sit dormant in you. And that's going to be a cause for shingles when you're up to like 30 plus.
Well, do you know that there's a big time doctor out there that most of these idiots listen to, who quoted on a an interview with at the time Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., who is a partner, his project is a partner of the Liberty Beacon Project, and and what this guy stated. And they didn't give Kennedy a chance to respond, or he would have. He wrote an article about it after the fact. He stated, this other guy, and he's a shill, he stated that one out of every 100 people who get chickenpox dies. The actual number is one out of every 68,000. But he said on this big radio show, right, with Kennedy, that everybody needs to get that chickenpox vaccine because one out of 100 people that get chickenpox dies. Gee, he's only off by a factor of 6,000.
A little fake news, are you saying?
Yeah.
Do they have false information, do they? and they got their best interest in mind.
Yeah, of course.
You guys are nuts. I tell you.
It's either they sit on the information or they just make up something that sounds better.
People don't do that. Come on. Man, you're going to spoil my whole day. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I should be trying to bring some nice, positive, flowery information about these individuals and how I'm sure we can change their mind and make them all caring people sometime within our lifetime. I'm sure that's out there. If they all got a real nice big group hug, who knows?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Okay. Am I supposed to be taking you serious right now? Because I'm about to start crying. Listen to me. I understand probably better than most people. I gave you a clue. Let me give you a little bit more of a clue, okay? I spent 8 years in the nuclear submarine fleet. I spent a little over 20 years working for the Department of Defense, making sure that we could kill people better than anybody on the planet. And then I got out of all of that about 10, 11 years ago, and somebody came over my house and said, you know, for a smart person, you're the most ignorant person I ever met. Ignorance does not denote stupidity. It denotes a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And he showed me a few things on his computer, his laptop, and I kicked him out of my house and spent the next week researching. For the last 10 and a half years, I have been building, and Barry will tell you this, a global 100% free alternative media source called the Liberty Beacon Project with great people like Ralph Ely, who's the project editor. We've got Corinne Gotti, who is our media director. These are good people. And what's going to make your friend and my new friend smile, Barry, is that as big as we are, as far as we can reach, we don't take a penny from anybody. So nobody tells us what to print, ever.
Darn right. That's what I've been doing myself with my platform. I got into it for very much, I'm sure, some of the same reasons. Absolutely. That's like you just kind of sort of spoke my credo as well, too, Roger.
Good. We'll be talking again. I'm sure this is not good. Barry's like, oh, you got to meet this guy. You got to talk to this guy. You know how Barry
is. Well, some of the best people around in sort of like, you know, this freedom of information, this new media, this basically torpedo to the mainstream media movement that is our movement here, what we're engaging in right now. Some of the best players out there in helping this along is somebody like a Barry and the people who connect other people. I myself sometimes don't feel like I do that enough. I'm always a little more focused on the next thing that I want to present and the next kind of move I want to make and how I'm, you know, building my own platform. Of course, I just as much as I love doing my own shows, I love coming on other people's broadcasts. And the people who do what Barry does and helps connect people and put people on not just his show, but get together on each different broadcast with other people as well, too. It's a blessing to know those people. They work miracles.
You know, one of the most important things we can do right now, guys, is to network ourselves, okay? If I get an opportunity and I meet people that I really like and I have a great deal of respect for and I listen to people talk, I want to connect them with other people because you sitting here with Roger here today, you might have learned a few things listening to Roger and vice versa. And the whole objective right now is to network people because we're being attacked from left, right, and center. We're in a battle right now that we can't lose. So to me, if I can put two people together and something good comes out of that, then it's a great day in my life. Go ahead.
It's not only a great day, but let me take this again a step further. Let me tell you guys exactly what that can lead to, all right? We're talking about vaccines, all right? You and I are probably people that are not going to voluntarily walk in and get a vaccine. But there are people on the other end of the spectrum who will get every vaccine they're told to get because that's what they're told to do and that's what they do. So these are the two ends of the spectrum. That's about maybe 40% of all of the people on the planet, okay, filling up those two ends of the spectrum. The other 60% is the no man's land in the middle. They're not anti-vaxxers. They're not pro-vaxxers, okay? And then most of them haven't made up their mind. I found an organization the other day that has literally over 100,000 people in it, and it's so fluid and it's so fantastic, and it is it's a project called Millions March Against Mandatory Vaccines. This is awesome. A group that has so many people involved, it's insane. I've never seen that many people involved in a vaccine project. But here's the reason. They're not anti-vax. Wait,
that's the same group that got the millions against Monsanto march and stuff going like that a number of years ago, because they did incredible work too.
No, I'm working with this group. I can tell you it's not, but that's where they got their idea. So let me finish this up real quick, okay? These people right here are not anti-vaccine and they're not pro-vaccine. What they are is, don't tell me you're going to stick that in my arm whether I like it or not. They are 100% against mandatory vaccination. So let me ask you a question, okay? We, the anti-vaccine activists of the world, haven't been able to make enough progress. But these people, they're willing to step up, and they have a lot more people than we do. They're willing to step up and promote one of our biggest complaints. Don't stick us with that if we don't want it. So now, instead of looking at these people and saying they're not anti-vaxxers, so we can't be bothered with them, I decided to look at them and say, here is a huge bunch of people, and you know what? They don't want to get stuck with a needle if they don't want to get stuck with a needle either. It was enough to form a bridge. What we have seen since we made that connection, an anti-vax group like us and a rights group like them, human rights group, about don't stick me with something I don't want to be stuck with, and all of a sudden I am seeing the interest to the Liberty Beacon and their website grow in leaps and bounds.
I'm sure, of course, yeah. Just any time that you can find the common ground, right? And then just sort of, and just, you know, do your best to use nice, calm, good old-fashioned free speech and say, hey, we should talk. We have some common interests here. We should talk. That can change things way bigger than any other big protest, march, or rally, or website can ever do sometimes. Absolutely.
If they can help us, and they have many more people than we do, okay? We talk about a lot of things. I'm just talking about the vaccine issue here. They have a lot more people on that issue than we do. If they can help us get to our first goal, which is, if I don't want to be stuck, don't stick me. If they can help us get there, that's 60% of the battle. Won.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The right to consent, the right to say no.
Yes.
Absolutely. And also, people will realize the power they have. This will impact individuals in ways that they were scared to stand up before, and that ripple-down effect could be contagious right through society, Roger and Todd.
And actually, I could see it also being beneficial in another way as well, too, because the more people you have out there with standing up for that basic right without any compromise whatsoever, one thing I bet you anything that we would start to see from it, and the people that would be, you know, finally enacting their rights properly would start to see from it, that might still feel a little on the fence, like, you know, there might be parts, you know, there might be some vaccines they want, or, you know, they think all their doctors and everybody else are there to just be helpful. Watch out when you really walk in always just knowing your rights and don't want to be, you know, compromised whatsoever, how a lot of people are going to get treated kind of awkward, maybe treated in a way they didn't actually see coming or expected. And then that will wake people up to a whole other way that some of this kind of works as well, too. When all of a sudden you start to get some unwarranted, unnecessary pressure or something like that, and somebody doesn't want you, doesn't seems a little miffed that the conversation isn't going their way. That's another kind of thing that could be pretty beneficial for society at large to see. Because, again, that's, who knows, then maybe those conversations happen inside that doctor's office and the doctor ends up learning a little something as well, too. Who knows? But it would open up that kind of worms as well, too.
The bad part about that is, and again, you hit the nail right on the head, but there's always a bad part about anything about these issues we're discussing here. The bad part about that is, you know, there's only two things that doctors get kickbacks on, chemotherapy and vaccines. And I'm going to tell you something, a pediatric office, one that has multiple doctors, you're looking at a one doctor, okay, a one doctor practice, anywhere from $60,000 to $80,000 a year he will get for the vaccines that pediatrician gives out to his customers. That's his kickback. Okay, if you have a multiple, okay, you know, multiple doctors, that type of practice, anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 a year in kickbacks.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do it? And these are the doctors who tell you when you come in and say, hey, can I see the inserts? I've heard this and I've heard this. And these are the doctors who look you square in the eye and say, you're going to have every vaccine that's on the schedule that's recommended or you're going to find yourself another doctor.
That happens
way too often.
See that? I believe it. Oh, I certainly believe it. That kind of stuff should be like recorded. Somebody should try to capture that on a little secret like camera or something like that. Even an audio recording would be decent because, yeah, I totally believe that happens. Absolutely.
I know two people that happened too. Yeah.
Then maybe the free market has a chance to sort of work itself out in that way then, right? So then, okay, so if a bunch of people are going to go leave the doctor that wants to go treat his patient like that, like my patient, you know, you the patient have no rights. You either sit down, shut up, listen to me, or walk the plank. Okay, fine. I'll take my business elsewhere. If more doctors out there that are kind of okay with listening to this conversation and letting somebody have a little bit more of those rights ends up getting the lion's share of a new percentage of customers, so be it.
Well, you know, we have a thing called informed consent, which means you're not ever supposed to put a freaking needle into my arm, my butt, or anywhere else unless you have showed me every piece of information that I can read. Or even if you want to give it to me in a video, anything that may affect my body or myself going forward. That's called informed consent. And you know what? It is violated at least 80 to 90% of the time in cases of vaccines.
No doubt. So, of course, so, you know, we always have to get brought back to this. This is kind of a necessary part of the conversation, I guess.
Yes.
Who exactly was it? What would you consider, Roger? What was the point in history where that old Hippocratic oath was just burned at the stake?
Okay, this is something most Canadians won't be aware of, but I will tell you, and this will probably surprise you. Most people are aware that when Eisenhower gave his final address, he talked about the military-industrial complex and the fact that we need to be aware of that. Have you ever seen that old video? Okay, hold on. What most people don't know, and what was cut out, never to be seen, but it's still in the archives, is that the first thing he warns everybody about is the big pharma complex.
Medical tyranny.
Yep. That was the first thing he said, and big pharma pressured them to cut it out. It has never been seen since the original broadcast.
Wow.
I would love to hear that, Roger. I would love to hear that.
So, yeah, and I guess really I'm sure the reality of it is that the Hippocratic Oath, just like a lot of other cornerstones in Western society that was supposed to be able to uphold the individual's freedoms, so on and so forth, has just kind of chipped away over time to where we get to where we are now, where a lot of those cornerstones are nothing but a pile of rubble.
You said chipped away over time. Again, you say the most brilliant things at the right time, because in 1796, Thomas Jefferson said, when the people allow the government to decide what foods they eat, what medicines go into their bodies, their bodies shall soon be as sick as the souls of those who live under tyranny. That was in 1796. He made that prediction. This guy had the best crystal ball in history.
No doubt. Yeah, that was extraordinarily accurate, like right down to the detail right there. That's perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
That is a quote.
I do believe I've heard it.
There's so much
where we are today.
I can make one statement, guys. You know, there's so much controversy in the world about vaccines. People are looking for information. They don't know what to believe. But when it comes to the conversation, if I get into the conversation with anybody, all I ask them to do, as a responsible adult that's responsible for what's going into your child's body, child doesn't have a choice of what's going in there. You're the one that's overseeing what's going on. Then it's your responsibility to go on the internet, look up the name of the vaccine that they want to put into your child's body, look at the ingredients, cross-reference those ingredients on the internet. It's all open source information, and you will not put that vaccine in your child's body. And that's all I ask people to do.
Barry, the one place you can send them, and it has nothing to do with traffic to TLB, where they're going to get the absolute truth and it's never been censored, compromised, or modified, send them to the Liberty Beacon. Type vaccines into the search bar.
People that aren't aware of what's in the damage that can be done to the body, I say to you, as a responsible person, you have to look at all information available.
Agreed.
I ask you to do is look up the vaccine, look at the ingredients, see the effect on the human body, and then tell me you want to put that into your child's body. And that's a 15-minute search. That's your responsibility. Anybody that isn't willing to do that, I say you're not fulfilling your obligations as a parent.
Okay, but you know what you're going to find out? what you're going to find out is this, because Barry, what you just said is something I tell people all the time. That's the perfect thing to say, but you need to tell them this as well. This is the key. This is what's going to make them do what you just asked them to do. The government, okay, and the CDC are constantly saying, and you both know this, vaccines never have, never will, and never can cause autism. They say this over and over and over and over and over again. They put this out in public. They beat it into everybody's head, except what Barry just told people to do and what you told people to do is to read the inserts. Would you believe me if I told you that at least a half a dozen inserts out there say one of the possible side effects is autism? It's fucking right in the damn freaking
Right? Is of course, because you know, the greatest the greatest joke or the greatest deception that the devil ever pulled off was telling people that he didn't exist. So but you have to be able to still tell the people that you didn't exist. It's what completely insane people just love the most out of their out of this kind of game, out of this horrible types of you know, systems that they build is no, they want to tell you what they're doing to you. It apparently makes the joke that much better for these demons. It's it's got to be right there. You got to tap them on the head and go, hey, can I whisper this into your ear? I'm killing you. Yeah, okay, no, go back to work. Go back to work. And then it's like, that makes the joke that much better. See, I told him, and he's still just listening to me. He got him. It's really, really right. Disgusting.
But again, let's look at what we just discussed, all of the stuff that we have discussed. And you know what? We've had a hell of a lot of conversation. It hasn't even been an hour yet. Let's look at everything we've discussed. Most people aren't going to get this much information on this topic at this level, okay, of interaction ever in their entire life. This is an eye-opening experience for a lot of people. This is why when Barry says we're going to be talking about autism, we're going to be talking about cancer, we're going to be talking about – I want to be there. Because if the three of us open the eyes of even one or two people today and they get on the same mission we're on, imagine how many lives they can change.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, absolutely. And I could back it up with this as well, too, because I felt like saying it when Barry was saying his last little piece there about parenting is, you know, my firstborn, you know, sadly enough with a past relationship. So I'm not, you know, with the child all the time, but often enough. With that relationship of mine, the firstborn to that mother, you know, went through his regular scheduled vaccines and had some issues, some noticeable issues, some cognitive dysfunction, a bit of a very delayed in speech, so on and so forth. Then the firstborn with me and her came along. And, you know, to this day, as far as I know, there has been no developmental delays, no nothing like that at all. You know, very, very awake, fast-paced.
Fully vaccinated?
No, not at all. But the one with me? No.
Okay. See, you hadn't said that, but I was guessing it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You know, of course, when we got pregnant together, I was just sort of like, hey, this is my first time around the block as a parent, but I know one major decision I want to make right off the bat, which is for the first like year plus or whatever like that, like not even a chance, like no, zero, zip, nothing, like just leave it alone. Yeah. And now I have a much better relationship with that child now at about 6 years old, and very, very, very high energy, very much like I was as a child as well, too. Very fast learner, very socially adept, so on and so forth. And then happy to announce that me and my current girlfriend, who will be my wife soon enough. There's no more bouncing around for this guy.
Okay.
One from a past relationship as well, too, but now we are pregnant with the first of our own, and that child will also go unvaccinated as well, too, and I can't wait to report that kind of progress after next April when the child is born and so on and so forth.
You're not going to go through the parent training program? You're not going to go – oh, come on. You got to go through the parent training program.
Hang on, Roger. Roger.
Interject for 1 second. My producer wants to say one thing quick here, guys. We're getting down the last one. But Steve wanted to make one comment. So I'm going to do that just a second.
Oh, hell yeah.
To all three of you. To all three of you. Roger probably knows this. Barry may not. He may. Todd, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago they want to tell us the truth. Well, actually, the truth is they have to tell us what they're doing. It's in their own bylaws.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well said. Yes. Yeah.
They don't
yeah.
have any choice. It's just how they deliver it. That's the yes. mechanism they use their creativity on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And thank you for pointing that out, because it's kind of silly of me not to point that out. Yes, in the sort of Luciferian, satanic, ritualistic belief system, it very much, yeah, is about, you know, tell them what you're doing. Make it seem, in a lot of ways, if you're doing it to benefit them, but you have to tell them what you're doing. Even if you have to use brash words sometimes, like, I'm going to kill you, then find your right way to use it, you know. Laugh while you're doing it. move on.
We're going to put you into pleasant eternal slumber where nobody will ever disturb you or bother you for eternity. Now, doesn't that sound nice?
We're down to the last 3 minutes here, guys. You believe, like, I knew this was going to go fast. I tell you, this has been one of the best hours I've done for a long time. I'm going to let Roger say something real quick before we shut out the hour, and Todd, I'll get a last comment where people can find you, et cetera, et cetera. But we are down the last 3 minutes. So Roger, go ahead first, then Todd after him.
The Liberty Beacon. If you just put in the Liberty Beacon in a search, you will come up with the flagship. And once you get to the flagship, just look at the top. You will see the logos for other websites. I'm not here to promote the Liberty Beacon. We do a pretty good job of that ourselves. Myself, Roger Landry, and the Liberty Beacon Project are here for two reasons and two reasons only, and they were mentioned by both of you individuals as well, and that is we need to inform, and we need to inform and make sure that we're informing the truth. So the truth and information, that's the only reason we're here. Barry, when you invite me on a show like this, as I described not even 10 minutes ago, and I get a chance to meet somebody who I can discuss issues with that will impress people listening. I don't mean impress like, oh, he's a nice guy. Oh, my God, he's so handsome. I mean impress as in, is that for real? I got to do something about that. I got to look that up. When we can do that, that's the whole reason for me being here. And, Barry, I appreciate the hell out of you.
Thanks, Roger. And you know we're going to be having you back real soon in the future, Todd.
You know, thanks for even some of those kind words right there. Like you said yourself, Roger, and I totally agree. Being able to be involved in sort of a roundtable type discussion, I know Barry quite well already after talking with him many, many times, both on and off different broadcasts. But with someone like yourself into the mix, of course, it makes things just that much more exciting, positive, hopefully beneficial for the audience. And, you know, the more like-minded, like-fueled type energy that that I come in contact with that's very similar to mine, I think the better things always go. You know, you bounce off one another, and the audience, I think, can always pick up on that. It always equals for a far more entertaining, energetic, and informative broadcast, because when we're really working at our, like, high capacity, that's when we're going to be calling out, like, the best, you know, the top stuff that people really need to take a look at.
We're going to talk again. We are.
Oh, by all means, I greatly look forward to it. So thank you very much to both of you for making this happen. It's simply an absolute pleasure of mine to be here with the both of you. Myself, of course, Todd McDougall of Winnipeg Alternative Media, pretty much one of the only more larger multi-media, multi-platform type of alternative medias here in Winnipeg and Manitoba, and even through kind of out the Canadian prairies as well, too. Saskatchewan is kind of quiet in that way as well, too. It's kind of a solo effort for me right now. I like to pick up volunteers and work with other people as much as I can. But for myself right now, it's mostly just me chipping away as much as I can. So, of course, you can find me on Facebook and on YouTube. I do a broadcast every week. I do a weekly show called Planting Seeds for Prairie Truth, and then I do other broadcasts as well, too, especially if there's different kinds of news and information that I come in contact with that I want to get out right away. And, of course, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at WPGAltMedia, and you can email us at WinnipegAltMedia@gmail.com as well. And again, thank you very much, Barry, for having me on. And Roger, it's been a pleasure talking to you and meeting you as well, too.
Very nice.
Well, hey, guys, you know what? The energy I've felt in this room today just is overwhelming. This has been one of the most enjoyable hours I think I've done on radio in a long, long time. I know my audiences are just bubbling right now. I would love to get you both back on here sometime in the near future. I know, Todd, you're going to reach out to Roger and get him on your shows because, I've known Roger for a long time. And anything that Roger's ever put forward to me, and I checked his information out myself. Well, I did, Roger. When you said that the first time I met you on a radio show, buddy. I'll be quite honest. I went and vetted your information.
I know you told me. I know.
And listen, I got to know who I'm talking to, okay? And I went and vetted that information. I spent some time. And anything you've ever told me, my friend, I have never been able to debunk it. So thanks for coming on my show. It's always a pleasure. This has been, like I said, one of the best hours I think I've done on radio in a long time. Todd.
Agreed.
I really want people to go listen to Todd. I know that Shake and Wake Radio here is asking me if we can play some of your shows on that station, Todd. And I know the people over there really enjoyed our conversation. So, guys, all I can say is it's been a blast.
My stuff is free to broadcast, Barry. You grab whatever you want to mine and go put it out to the people, man. That's what it's all about.
That's what we're here for, Todd. We really got to get our act together here in the next little while because we're facing some very, very deep demonic forces in this world. We don't have time to get into that right now, but honestly...
No, actually, I've got to dive out, guys, because I've got another call to be on.
Okay, Rod, thanks, buddy. Thanks.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Okay, it is facing some pretty deep stuff right now, and I think it's time for us all to get involved and really kind of look in the mirror and ask ourselves what really is important in our lives. And the threat I see to the future of life as we know it right now is on the top of my list. So thanks again, Todd, for joining me. Thanks, guys, for joining me this week. I've had a blast. I'll be back next week, same time, same place, with great guests. So join me then. Have a great week. God bless you all, and bye.